Our next guest has been generous enough to join us many times over the year, covering ASU as well as many things Pac-12, azcentral.com. He also does the ASU Pick 6 podcast. Follow along on Twitter, at Doug Haller. Doug, always appreciate your time, and in this case, your patience. How are things?
Things are going pretty well. Obviously, people are a little upset around here right now with ASU getting off to a slow start, but we'll see what Pac-12 play has in store for them.
You know, along those lines, when Todd Graham took over, I would describe the program under Dennis Erickson as stagnated. You know, he came out of the gate winning 8, 10, and 10 games, and then, you know, they slipped the last 2 years, and I know you hear a lot from fans and supporters. How important is this season, and is it about contending for the South or showing things are heading in the right direction to kind of stabilize his position?
Well, this season's incredibly important for Ty Graham. You know, it kind of started in the offseason when every year that he's been here, he's had an automatic rollover in his contract. He's gotten an extra year every summer. And this past summer, the administration decided not to give him that extra year on his contract. So, you know, a lot of hot seat speculation every summer is just that, speculation. But when the administration decided to hold back on that extra year, it kind of made it more real. And, you know, he's kind of in a a situation where he needs to win. I don't know. They don't need to contend. I think ASU's athletic director is a little bit more realistic. He understands the roster limitations, but what they are looking for is just signs of stability, that the program hasn't bottomed out. And, you know, this is a team that lost their last six last year, and now they're off to a 1-2 start this year. It doesn't look real promising right now, particularly with the stretch they have coming up. Oregon, and then at Stanford, Washington, at Utah, and USC. That's tough for any team.
Whoa. Like Oregon and Cal last season, you know, that ASU defense was on the worst in the country. And Coach Graham didn't stand pat. He demoted Keith Patterson. He brought in a very experienced guy in Phil Bennett to run the defense. What about that move and maybe any impact you've noticed early on, three games in?
Well, it was a surprising move because, you know, even though Keith Patterson was the defensive coordinator in title last year, you know, Todd, he's a defensive-minded coach. He's always had his hands on the defense. He's kind of been, you know, the defensive coordinator, even though he doesn't have a title. You know, at the end of, like, a defensive possession, if you look over on the sideline, it's Todd Graham in the defensive huddle talking to the defense.
Right.
Last year he pulled away a little bit. This year, he's totally different. This year, he's kind of taken the CEO approach. He's just as much involved in the offense as he is the defense. And a lot of that is because of his trust in Phil Bennett. They go back a long way. In fact, when Todd and Keith Patterson were coaches at Allen High School, they went and studied under Phil Bennett when Phil Bennett was at Texas A&M. So pretty much everything Todd Graham has learned, or at least the genesis of it, came from Phil Bennett. So, you know, Phil has been honest this year. He's been saying, hey, this is a journey. You know, we're not going to come out there and dominate from the beginning. He understands that they have some inexperience, especially in the defensive backfield, and that it's going to take some time.
Yeah, we've been hearing that, too, about the process as we continue with Doug Haller of AZ Central. So you look for positives, and I think you touched on it. They lost last week at Texas Tech. The final numbers, not really good. You know, they did overcome an 18-point halftime deficit, tied it before they lost late. Is there such a thing as a moral victory? Did they at least leave Lubbock with maybe a better taste in their mouth?
There shouldn't be. I'll start with that. For a program like Arizona State, a Pac-12 program that was coming off consecutive 10-win seasons just a few years ago, for a coach that's in his sixth season, there should be no such thing as a moral victory. But given where the program is, the second half of that Texas Tech game was the most encouraging thing that I have seen this year. They won their first week against New Mexico State at home, didn't look good doing it. They lost the next week to San Diego State at home, which, you know, looks a little bit better now that San Diego State beat Stanford, but you know, even though ASU was in that game in the second half, it just seemed like even from the opening minutes that that was a game that San Diego State was going to win. So really, the second half of the Texas Tech game, when they showed some fight, they finally got the offense going a little bit, showed some spark there. That was the most encouraging thing that, that I've seen this season. And that's why I kind of framed it saying, like, well, at least they showed something here. Now let's see if they can build off of it.
I guess we're talking baby steps, which in this conference doesn't usually cut it. I want to get to the defensive line. You know, they've got this unique scheme, and they not only changed coordinators, they brought in Michael Slater, who actually did some nice work at Kansas last year. Experienced group. So what about, I guess, first the health of Caron Crump, who hurt his foot last week, and maybe the potential of this unit moving forward?
Well, Caron Crump was a second-team All-Pac-12 selection last year in his first year out of junior college. He's our best pass rusher. I think he was the Pac-12's top returning sack artist. So, you know, they had high expectations for him this year. He had four sacks in his first two games, and then he hurt his knee against Texas Tech. He's already been ruled out for this game.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's sounding like it could. Officially, he's been ruled out indefinitely. So this could be a long-term thing. Without him, you know, they don't have a lot of depth, as I mentioned. So they'll start someone. His name's Abe Thompson, and you know, a month ago he wasn't even on scholarship. He earned a scholarship just a few weeks ago. So a little bit of drop off in talent there, but the rest of the line is, you know, fairly solid. As you mentioned, his experience, Tayshaun Smallwood, has started off and on since his freshman year. He's a senior now. JoJo Wicker is the guy that probably every team circles on the scouting report just because of what he can do. He's playing inside at the three tech position this year. He was on the outside at end last year. And just he can be disruptive up there. He was the second team All-Pac-12 selection last year as well. So, and then they have another senior that starts up there. So it is a veteran group, a seasoned group, a group that's been through the battles of the Pac-12. So they're fairly solid up there as long as they don't get lose anybody else to an injury.
Not only there, but if we go to the other line, Coach Graham had his offensive line coach, Josh Henson, go to Oklahoma State. He brought in Rob Sale, who was with Louisiana Monroe, but he's been in the SEC. And I heard on the podcast you were talking about some changes and issues. What could you tell us about, I don't know, they had a problem snapping the ball, and you know, and also they got an issue at left tackle now?
Well, you got to go back to last year when ASU had, you know, if you go to Phil Steele, he always, for ESPN, he always combines the combined starts of every offensive line in the country.
Right.
Arizona State was last in the Pac-12, and I think, like, among the last 15, you know, as far as inexperience goes. So they were a very young offensive line last year and couldn't run the ball. Still very young this year, still not running the ball. So, you know, they're still trying to find, you know, we're in week four and they're still trying to find their best five. Snapping has been an issue even in preseason from what we were able to see, which, you know, these days is not a whole lot in practice. They had some snapping issues and, you know, they're just trying to find, you know, who they want. You know, their left tackle, they started at center last week and they lost a fumble, a poor snap. And so I'm guessing they're going to go back to their original starting group up front, which is not as big, but, you know, it's just a group that's still young and just, you know, they haven't been able to really establish a running game. And as you know, anytime you can't do that, you're kind of limited to what you can do offensively. So, like a lot of things, it's still a work in progress.
Yeah, along those lines, as we continue with Doug Haller of AZ Central, Kalen Balazs in particular, now a senior, had a couple of good games the last 2 years against the Ducks, 125 yards 2 years ago, two touchdowns last year. And you wrote that Coach Graham called him their most improved player. I mean, how important is it that he get on track, not only for this game, but for the rest of the conference schedule?
Yeah, they need him. He's a dynamic playmaker. He's, you know, 6'3", 230, and probably, well, he is the fastest guy on the team. He's a guy that's going to go to the NFL Combine this year, and forever. Whoever doesn't know who, outside the Pac-12, people who don't know who he is now, they'll know who he is at the Combine because he's just a physical specimen. Incredible athlete. But, yeah, he hasn't been able to get going. He's one of those guys that, you know, going through the line, you better get him there, because if he gets a couple steps, then you're not going to catch him. Problem is everyone's taken care of. Everyone's got a hand on him at the line this year, but he's versatile. I think even last year at Oregon, he even threw a touchdown pass out of that Sparky formation where he takes a direct snap. So he can do a lot of different things. He's important. And then also they have another senior running back, DeMario Richard, who was out for pretty much the first two games, and then he came back against Texas Tech and ran pretty hard there. So I imagine he'll be part of the game plan against Oregon as well.
At quarterback, I know there was actually a battle to start during camp, and last year, of course, was an injury-riddled nightmare. The transfer from Alabama, Blake Barnett, and obviously Manny Wilkins won the job. I think Barnett got in for some mop-up work week one. How has Wilkins been performing, and is there any level of him looking over his shoulder if he should struggle a bit?
Yeah, Blake Barnett transferred in December, and any time that you get any program, get someone from Alabama, especially someone who started, Blake Barnett started their opener last year.
Right.
Lots of excitement among the fan base. You know, everyone wondered immediately, well, is Manny Wilkins going to transfer? Manny Wilkins isn't wired that way. He's not going to take the easy way out. So he kind of took it as, this is my job, I'm not giving it up. And, you know, there was... You know, the coaches kind of said it was a competition in preseason, but it really wasn't. I mean, Manny was always the number one guy, and that never changed. And really, I think since the season started, he's even kind of just tightened his grip on that job. And that's nothing, you know, against Blake Barnett. He has a strong arm, and I think he will get his chance at ASU one day. But if Manny keeps playing the way he's playing, I don't think it'll be this year. What Manny does well is, I don't know if you remember Taylor Kelly from a few years back.
Sure.
Yeah, he's not quite the dual threat Taylor Kelly is, and he's not the game manager. Taylor Kelly was an extremely talented playmaker, playmaker and also game manager. But that's kind of the mold that they want Manny to play in. He manages the game really well. They don't ask him to do a whole lot, but you know, they just don't want him to make mistakes. He's thrown 149 consecutive passes now without throwing an interception, which is a school record. So he's just doing everything that he's supposed that they're asking him to do. And you know, it'll be interesting. Last week, you know, he got the ball 2 minutes left with the game on the line, down seven, and you know, he couldn't lead him downfield for the tying touchdown. He's gonna be put in that situation again. I'll be interested to see how he does. He's just a very tough kid. And I'm not surprised at all that, you know, given that a five-star kid transferred in, that he didn't lose his job, because that's just not the way he's wired.
And lastly, you know, Oregon's off their worst season in a quarter century. They cleaned house, but there's still a lot of the same players from last year. And from not having to deal with Oregon putting up sheets to the buzz about this 3-0 start, what are the Arizona State coaches and players saying maybe about some of the challenges they're going to face with this particular Duck team?
Well, I mean, obviously it starts with Royce Freeman and what he does. And, you know, you have to tackle him. I think Phil Bennett said, you know, by population, you know, get a lot of guys around the football. If you try to tackle him high, you know, he's going to make you look pretty foolish. So I think obviously everything will start with the running game. And there's been a lot of talk with the fact that Oregon has just owned ASU for so long. You know, they've beaten them with Heisman winning trophy quarterbacks. They've beaten them with true freshman quarterbacks. You know, they've blown them out. They've won triple overtime games. You know, it just seems like no matter what kind of game it is, Oregon has always found a way to beat ASU. So 10 in a row, you know, and here, you know, they're just trying, the team within the locker room, they're just trying to build off that second half that they had against Texas Tech. Todd Graham, the first thing he said Monday at his press conference is, non-conference season doesn't matter. He was quick to sweep it under the rug. I guess that makes sense when you're 1-2. So, you know, they kind of look at this as a second start. And really, with that, they have a tough road right out of the bat. I mean, not that anybody has an easy way in the Pac-12, but they have a particularly rough stretch here to start off. And with everything, you know, the Todd Graham hot seat stuff is just, you know, among the fan base is really starting to kick in. They really need to win this game on Saturday.
He is Doug Haller. You can follow his work online, azcentral.com, on Twitter, the handle @DougHaller. Always great information and insight. Thanks for the time. Doug, have a great weekend, and I look forward to talking more down the road.
All right, my pleasure. Thank you.
All right, take it easy.